This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah! Yeah! Woo! Man, that's how you do it on a Sunday night. That's how you do it on a Monday morning. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thank you. Thank you, Friar Faithful, for being here this morning. I can definitely feel you. I can see you in the chat. And I'm glad you're here. I really am. My name's Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
What a morning.
What a morning indeed. Ben Higgins, fresh out of the Beast of the Belly. Dodger Stadium.
Made it.
I'm surprised.
Feel almost hungover, which is weird because I didn't have a drop to drink.
I can see
this
that.
Weekend.
I can
but
see
it's
that.
Still, there's a sense of like you went out and partied hard last night. I think part of it is simply the emotional intensity of being around all those people who are just crazy. I mean, even the players, everybody in that stadium was just a little too much. Sometimes the dial was turned way up. Of course, the dial is turned way up on their speakers. It is so loud. They play their music and their organ and their in-game entertainment so loud there at Dodger Stadium. You cannot even hear your own thoughts. I know Petco Park is loud, but the Dodgers really do take it to another level. And at some point, I was actually a bit fearful for my safety, sitting out in what they called the auxiliary press box. It wasn't a press box. We were just in the first three rows of the farthest section away in left field, sitting with Dodgers fans, you know, covering the game. And
they stick you out with out there.
All the TV people were out there. Even the LA TV people were out there, so I didn't feel too bad about it. But it wasn't the worst place to watch. But as the night went on and Dodgers fans started getting rowdier, it definitely started feeling a little bit dicey in that ballpark.
It's not a good feeling, man, if you've ever been to something that got out of control, right? A concert. I was at a concert one time and a guy pulled a knife. And there's a feeling of, I'm trapped. And I don't know what to do. And it starts brandishing this knife around at this concert. And you're just like, you're scared, man. You want to run for the exits. Certainly, man. There's no reason to be at a concert and a guy pull a knife. There's no reason to go to a baseball game and have the things that happen at that place consistently happen. And, you know, listen, after if you tuned in this morning to hear me absolutely roast the Dodger fans, the Dodger organization, after a good night's sleep about it, I've decided that's exactly what you're going to get today here on Ben and Woods. There's no question.
I expect nothing less.
Absolutely sick to my stomach seeing that last night. Listen, there's a reputation that's been earned there, and it's been earned for a reason. This is not a one-off. Even though Dave Roberts thinks it was not a one-off. This kind of crap happens there all the time. Happened at the All-Star Game, for Christ's sakes. At the All-Star Game, which is an exhibition. A celebration of the best players in baseball. Full-scale brawls going on in the concourse at an All-Star game. Figure it out. Figure it out. Figure out how to have a couple of beers and go to a baseball game. Not everything needs to turn into MMA, you know, and especially a playoff game. You know, and I was so disgusted, man, the fact that not one Dodger player came out and tried to stop it. Dave Roberts didn't try to stop it. They sat there with their hands on their hips. They watched their fans throw garbage and bottles into the bullpen, into right field, in a baseball at Profar in left field. It's pathetic. They should be embarrassed. And I'll tell you where it starts with that organization. It starts right at the top with Dave Roberts. That dude is the first guy out of the dugout every single time. Meh, 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 meh. Pointing, riling up his players, riling up his fans. He's the first one, and I know he's well-liked in this town. I don't give an F. He's the first one. It starts with him. All he had to do was walk out there and say, knock it off. You saw the Cal coach do it against the Aztecs a few years ago. You've seen it done 1,000 times. He sits in the dugout and doesn't do a thing. In press conferences after the game, he talks about, we took exception to this, and we took exception to that. I take exception to you being a really, really crappy leader and an instigator every single time. We've been going through that with this guy for years.
All the way back to the Andy Green days.
All the way back to the Andy Green days. It starts and stops at the top, and it's pathetic. And your fans are pathetic. and you're scumbags. You're scumbags. And that should never happen at a baseball game, ever.
I do feel like, and actually my wife texted me and she said, why don't the Dodgers players walk out, like position by position,
100%.
Stand out there with the Padres players, look out at their fans and just basically show them, hey, we're all together here. We're players. We're part of this fraternity. You hear that
right?
all the
you
time.
You hear it all the time.
You see Mookie and, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. sitting down and doing a podcast together. There's a fraternity that goes beyond the extremely intense competition that does go on the field. And that was an intensely competitive game. But there's more that unites those players than divides them, even when they're on
no question
opposing teams. So
no question,
it would have been a moment maybe for some solidarity that we didn't see from the Dodgers that would have been nice. And I get it. It was a chippy, competitive game between the two teams.
Which, by the way, is fantastic.
Which did have a spillover effect onto the fans. They just... And again, it's not everybody. I did meet a number of really cool Dodgers fans, but there was a lot that were not cool, that drank too much, had a guy just screaming obscenities behind me like the entire game, standing the entire game. And maybe, you know, families out there, I get it, it's a playoff game, it's a baseball game, but I was in the middle of it. I was right above Jurickson, right above, there were fights in the first game that were spilling out over the field and
dude,
arrests.
That's the other thing. In game one, two Dodger fans, and there's very clear video of it being Dodger fans fighting each other, falling over the wall. You were right there, led away in handcuffs. That's game one. In the very same section that was doing that. Do we need to do the thing? Because that's what they do in this country. Like, they did it. Hey, kids will see flavored cigarettes and flavored tobacco, and they'll want to try it, so we can't do it. You have fans spilling over. Do we need to ban alcohol sales, you know, for the actions of a few? And it's not a few. This is every single year at Dodger Stadium. Do we need to do that? Do we need to ban alcohol? You know, because it's ridiculous.
Now, in other sports, you can, like in football, if fans start getting unruly, throw things on the field, they can call a 15-yard penalty. They can actually do some things to impact the game to try to correct fans' behavior. In baseball, they don't really have a mechanism. You can't, like, assign an out.
Foul.
Yeah, ball one.
Ball one. Right. They don't do that. And the only thing that I could come up with, it would be extreme, because you don't want to forfeit. I saw people calling,
no,
hey, this game should be forfeit. You have to play the game. You start throwing things on the field in a playoff series. You don't get any more home games. Games 3, 4, and 5,
wow,
if necessary.
But what's to stop a fan from dressing up in other gear? You know what I mean? Like somebody going in and playing double agent. But there should something. There needs to be something done, man. But, you know, and you think about it. It happened in the playoffs last year. Yankee fans did it to the Guardians. And Aaron Judge walked his ass out there and told them to stop. Who better to do that than Shohei Ohtani? To walk out and say, guys, what are we throwing baseballs out on the field for? You'd never see it. Never see it from any of the leadership of that team. Never. They sat there, they watched it, they ran their mouths after the game. And, you know, listen, you plunk one of our players. I thought it was on purpose. So did Dan Plesac. So did Steve Phillips. These are guys who've been around the game for combined.
You can disagree on that opinion if you want,
sure,
but it's certainly a valid opinion. Think that Jack Flaherty hit Tatis there, or was extremely uncaring as to whether he came so far inside that he hit him because he did not want to face him at that point.
Ian says, Shohei was embarrassed last night. You could tell. No, I couldn't, because he was sitting in the dugout. I couldn't tell he was embarrassed. Get your ass out there and tell them to stop. Period. You don't throw balls at players, you know? Have you guys ever seen the movie Roadhouse? And Jeff Healey and his band are sitting up on stage playing, and they have a cage in front of them because people throw stuff at them. Is that where we're headed at Chavez Latrine? It's absurd. It should never happen, ever. And like you said, Benny, it would have gone a long way to see just one player walk out there. I don't care if it's Kike Hernandez. I don't care if it's Max Muncy. I don't care if it's Will Smith. Go out there and tell them to stop acting like animals. I mean, that's just absurd.
There's so many layers to it also.
There's a thousand layers.
Jurickson Profar, of all people, making that incredible catch, robbing Mookie Betts of a home run. And then he's chirping with the Dodger fans out in left
field. How great were those fans? Right. At the time, how great were those fans?
It was awesome.
The guy goes, oh!
Like that's a great moment for the game.
Great moment.
And they all hate Profar for reasons like Will Smith calling him irrelevant.
Absolutely.
Dave Roberts years ago saying, we took exception to the way you don't hit a home run off a Hall of Famer like Kershaw.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So when you hear that as a low IQ baseball fan like these Dodger fans are, they take that and run with it.
For years. Years and years and years. I mean, what a cool-ass moment. What a cool-ass moment. And again, let me credit those fans at the time there for going, oh, my God, this was amazing. And Profar not saying anything, just jumping up and down and then turning around, firing the ball.
I talked to Jurickson after the game. And
they not make a distinction between
I don't think I don't think he even knew that the stadium didn't know that he caught it. He's just caught this ball.
Right.
He kind of assumes everyone saw him catch it. He doesn't see. He's facing away from Mookie running around the bases. I mean, he's looking at these fans. He's jumping up and down excitedly. I think he kind of felt like everyone knew he caught it, and everyone was cheering because he just made, like, the most insane home run robbing catch of his life. He's never robbed one.
Yeah.
He wasn't really slow playing it. He was excited and celebrating and just facing the direction of the fans where he had caught it, and it was, like, really happy. Look at the smile on our YouTube stream. Look at the smile on his face.
The fans, like,
it was incredible.
It was cinema. It was pure cinema.
And then later in the game, a video surfaced last night. You probably saw it if you were on social media. Right before the incident of the ball throwing onto the field, Jurickson went out and kindly
handed him a ball, smiling.
Here's your souvenir I took away from him. Like a really cool fan-player interaction moment. That fan immediately just chucked it onto the field. Not at Jurickson,
just chucked it.
And, you know, you could say that was dumb, but he was like, he's playing back at Jurickson. But then other people started throwing all the rest of the junk onto the field, and that's where, you know, Jurickson lost his mind. You know, it was even worse in right field with the trash or whatever that was coming out at Tatis. I couldn't see that as well.
Sitting right there, next to these people.
There he is, right there. Right there. Doesn't do a thing. Now, again, if you're a security guard in Dodger Stadium, whatever you make, you don't make enough. Like those window washers the other day. I don't know what your salary is, but
can I quickly say I didn't talk to really any of the security guards. The staff interactions I had, fantastic. Like the people who worked at Dodger Stadium in the press box down below, so helpful for me, like, you know, getting through. So I just want to say that they did treat me quite well while I was there.
Yeah, but again, there's so much more that they could have done last night. That delay, by the way, was 12 minutes long. So let me ask you this. We'll have audio of Dave Roberts talking about it and about all the games he's seen at Dodger Stadium, and he's never seen anything like that. You know, one unruly fan, whatever. 12 minutes, man. What did you think was going on in that 12 minutes that you couldn't have gone out to do something? Take some accountability, which you never do. You never do. And it's a disease in that organization, and it goes all the way up to their broadcaster, Joe Davis. It goes all the way up to Dave Roberts. There's no accountability. It's always the injuries. It's always the energy. They didn't beat us. We beat themselves. They're look in the mirror and take some accountability for your actions, or I guess in last night's case, your non-actions. You didn't do anything, and you absolutely could have, and you should have. And you can rest assured that it's not going to happen at Petco Park. It's not happening. State of the Union coming up, 8 a.m. this morning. Pretty fired up.
All right, we will get into the 2:30. Actual playing of the game and, you know, Saturday's game as well. You guys need to give me an update and update all of our listeners who weren't out at Alesmith on Saturday at how that went, because it sounded like it was absolutely
you were very missed, my friend.
Incredible. I felt FOMO not being there with you guys. I'm sure everyone a little FOMO that they weren't there up there at Dodger Stadium with me. Saturday wasn't as fun. Obviously, yesterday was pretty incredible. Great theater, being in the clubhouse with those guys celebrating after the game. Very, very intense and emotional. We'll talk all about it coming up. And why don't I just throw out the tease? Jeff Passan's going to be with us. We'll explain coming up as well.
That's a big one.
That's a big one coming up at 7:35 this morning. So we'll get into all of that coming up next. Good morning, Padres fans. Series tied, one game apiece. They're heading back to Petco Park. with home field advantage in tow in the National League Division Series. You listen to Ben and Woods and Paul. We'll be back after Kelly Danick's traffic on San Diego's home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan. So I just want to say how much I missed seeing everybody at the live broadcast at AleSmith. I fully had intended to be there, and then we decided Channel 10 needed me up in Los Angeles. Apparently, so Corey Stewart was there and brought me this shirt as thank you or punishment? Which one is it? I can't tell.
I think it is. I think it's. I mean, it's a perfect fit for you.
It does fit well.
It's got everything you love. It screams
stripes,
Ben Higgins.
Red, white, and blue, plus it's brown and gold, SD. It's got Friar logos.
It's silky. It's,
yeah. Polyestery, I think, is more the...
The way I described it, the way that I described it at the event was it's a shirt that you buy at a gas station. It's a Padres gas station shirt. I don't know that that's actually licensed by the team. I can't imagine it is.
I bet it's actually not.
So I haven't seen that at the team store.
You're wearing a bootleg Padres shirt.
I think so. I do.
It is something else. It is as loud as it can be, but it's something else, man. I like it. It looks good on you.
So I did miss everybody. It sounded, when I was on with you guys, I could hear in the background. I mean, Padres fans were bringing it this weekend from San Diego. I cannot even imagine what tomorrow and Wednesday are going to be like at Petco Park. Because the one thing, I talked about how loud the speakers were at Dodger Stadium, fans at Petco Park are louder. I can say that from sitting now in the stands with the fans at Dodger Stadium. Padres fans bring more noise to a game than Dodgers fans.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a moment in the game yesterday. I'll just bring this up. They have their in-game hosts who are like, you know, firing up, and they do the the food truck race, and they do the hat shuffle, and you know, talk to fans, and then they say, "Hey, fans, we want to hear from you. Let's make some noise." And they point to each of the sections. And I don't think this is in in-game host 101, but the host said, "I don't think I've ever heard you guys so quiet before." And I go, "I don't think you're supposed to say that during a playoff game." Obviously, they were losing at the time, and fans were a little bit silent at that point.
Oh, my God.
You're probably not supposed to point that out if you're a Dodgers in-game stadium host. "Hey, I don't think I've ever heard you guys so quiet before. Where's the noise?"
Wow.
Yeah. Padres have kind of quieted you down a little bit.
I'm trying to think. You know,
there's more noise at AleSmith, I think.
AleSmith was insane. And thank you to all of you guys that came out. Got a chance to talk to a ton of Tier 1s, you know, during the show, you know, on breaks. It was as special of a moment as I've had in radio. And some of the stories that you guys were kind enough to share with me, I will treasure forever. Other than, you know, my family, what I is my reason to get out of bed and come do this every day. You guys, letting us know how much it matters to you, bro, it's like fuel. It's like fuel in the car, man. You can't go without it. So,
couple stories had us in literal tears.
I had to
within
walk,
10 minutes of us hitting the air at 2:30.
I had to walk outside at AleSmith and compose myself because I had tears running down my face when one of the patrons there came up and told me about her husband who's ill and said that they, you know, will watch the Ben and Woods feed from his hospital bed on YouTube, and it's the one thing he looks forward to the most. And I'm just like, you know me, I'm a pretty emotional softy anyway. I cry at the drop of a hat. Ever since I had kids, man, I cry at commercials, music, name it. She told me that. I'm looking her dead in the eye, and I'm like, all right, I need a minute. So I had to walk outside, Benny, right before we took the air, and we made a video for her husband, and he sent us a video back later on in the afternoon that just... I don't even have words for it. It was stunningly beautiful.
Very
and incredible
emotional.
And emotional. So that's the vibe there. Everyone was super hyped. Everyone was having a great time. And you know what? About 6 Dodger fans walked in. Everyone started booing him. And then we all laughed and said, "Ha, ha, ha, buy you a beer. I dapped the guy up," the whole thing. That's how you need to handle it, you know, moving forward. Showing them, hey, this, you know, listen, it's a wild move that you guys came in here amongst, you know, hundreds of Padres fans, but We're not going to devolve and do anything dumb. So I made sure to say, hey, you know, buy him a beer, put it on my tab, whatever. Let's dap him up. Let's have a good time. It's just baseball.
And then the special guest arrived.
Yeah.
And I want to thank, if you missed it, the special guest who came in and sat down with you guys and talked some Padres baseball, because I do feel like San Diego wanted to hear from him. It's been a while since he's been on the air. So thank you to Darren Smith, who is a longtime friend of ours, who came by to Ale Smith and was able to sit down with you guys for a while and talk Padres baseball. I thought that was really cool of him.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Thank God he did, because I was absolutely drowning. We had audio problems early. It spun me out. So Paulie was, you know, my co-host.
See, when things go wrong, that's when I try to step
correct
in usually. And then when, if with not me there, I was worried about Woods a little bit.
Paulie was my co-host, but when the audio goes south, Paulie's got to go work on the audio. So then I don't have a co-host.
We can't grind through that.
So I'm Kate Winslet on the door, right? This ship is sinking, and I'm like, I'm dying. And then thank God Darren came in. Darren, I told him after, I go, you literally saved our ass, man. You really did. And he told some of the greatest stories, and it's all circular, because it's funny. He told the story. Do we have time for this? Yeah, I'll tell the story. Jerks and Profar is obviously, you know, a guy we're going to be talking about a lot. His buddy is A.J. Hinch, who's the manager of the Tigers. And he was asking him about some of the guys on the team, and he goes, oh, yeah, you can game plan for Manny. You know, you can game plan for Tatis. You can game. We have a plan for all these dudes. He goes, you can't game plan for Jerks and Profar. You don't know what he's going to do. You have no idea what he's going to do. He drives me crazy. There's no game plan for him. Does he have holes in his swing? Yes. Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter.
They change from like day to day.
Day to day.
What is Jurickson?
And he goes, he's the one player in baseball there is no game plan for. And I went, oh, my God, you just blew my mind. So we were talking, and I said to Darren, I go, Jurickson's the guy you want on your team, but you don't want to play against. And I said, just like you, D. Smith. I said, you're always been Jurickson Profar. You love playing with Darren. You don't like playing against him. And we had such a great, great time. He told some great stories. It was so rad to see him. The audience was super stoked.
Yeah, Brandon says A.J. Hinch is his Skip Schumacher.
That's exactly right.
It's very true. Perfect call.
It is very true.
Andrew says Woods did his best Ben impression just plowing through it. I was like, poor Paulie is up there fixing the speakers, and the sales guy's running up going, it's too quiet. It needs to be louder. I'm like,
that ain't happening.
If it's louder, that's when you're getting more feedback. I go, bro, we're dying right now. So well done. We pulled it off. Without Darren, it would have been the worst thing you've ever heard.
I ran into Darren and his wife, Leah, as they were heading out. I was loading up my car, and we were talking in the parking lot for a few minutes. He was like, man, that was effing awesome. Like, thank you. And I said, look, man, we could have had you in studio. We've been working on this now for a little while.
Yeah, we have.
Behind the scenes. We could have had you in studio, and it would have been great, but it wasn't going to be the same. It was important to us to have you out at a remote in front of people that I assume if they were listening to us, at some point they listened to you long before we showed up. And it just, we wanted you to get your flowers and get that proper feeling of just being around the people again. And
it
was so much fun.
Yeah. And, you know, I told him, Betty, and I'm sure you feel the same way. For me, when I wasn't on sports radio, I always looked up to Darren, and I did when I was on sports radio as well. You know what I could always count on from him? Talking baseball. In an NFL town back then, I could always count on Darren Smith talking baseball, which has been our MO since the day we started. We made it a point and a priority because that's what we love. We've never wavered, never once. You know, that's been our commitment too, and I got that from him.
And it's actually because of Darren that we're going to have our special guest on in 1 hour.
100%.
Jeff Passan. And I've seen you guys in the chat. Hey, Jeff's on the list right now.
Yeah,
He's not a friend of Padres Nation at the moment. Yeah, he knows that.
He knows it.
That's why he wanted to come on. He actually texted Darren and said, hey, can I come on? Because I want to talk. I want to be roasted by Padres fans. I want to talk to Padres fans and wear it from Padres fans. And Darren goes, I'm actually not on, and he felt really bad about
that.
Right?
Bad,
he didn't know.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
And Darren said, but go on with my buddies, Ben and Woods. They would love to hear from you. And the Padres fans, they go to their show every single morning. So this is like Jeff's request to come on.
I love it.
And talk to you out there, whatever you're feeling about Mr. Passan. yeah, you know, well, you can let him have it. I don't know how, if he's going to take calls, if he wants to do that, or just, you know, wants to hear from you on social media, but we'll talk to him at 7:35. ESPN's MLB Insider going to join us in the middle of this Padres-Dodgers series that is captivating the baseball world. So stay tuned for that. Sammy Leavitt, who was up in L.A. with me, will join us at 8:35 postseason. Sammy, as always. Outside of that, I can't promise anything because we're just going to be talking baseball at this point.
I would be surprised if we mentioned anything else other than the series for the next three and a half hours. Really? I don't want to.
If you were stuck listening to Joe Davis and John Smoltz yesterday and didn't get to hear Jesse and Tony, we got all of those calls coming up next in our Padres wrap-up. If you did hear them, you're going to want to hear them again and again and again and again. We will get into Game 2 last night in our Padres wrap-up next year with Bennett Woods on the Padres home in San Diego, 97.3 The Fan. So many key moments to the game last night. Jackson Merrill just continues to be incredible. For a 21-year-old kid on this kind of stage, coming up in large moments the way he has all season long. But I do think that the Profar catch, even though the Padres hit 6 home runs, I think the Profar catch was the defining moment of the game and the moment that really changed everything, even though they were already up 1-0 at the time. I assume Jesse's call of that is in there. It's a long call, obviously, because Jesse didn't know it was a home run right away. In fact, I think Tony Gwynn Jr. might have been the first to realize it. One of the first in the stadium, other than Profar and the four fans. Even the fans like in the third row didn't realize that it wasn't a home run. So we will get to all of those highlights coming up. Our Padres recap of Game 2 of the National League Division Series right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
The 0-1 pitch, Tatis launches that one in the air. Deep down the left field line, it is way back and gone! A home run! Into the Dodger bullpen down the left field line. Fernando gets him again, and it's 1-0 here in the first. 1-0 Padres, bottom of the first. Mookie swings at the first pitch, sends it in the air to deep left field. Profar's going back. He is at the little wall. He will leap into the stands, and he can't make the catch. A home run. Profar had a shot, but he had to go into enemy territory. Did he end up catching it?
He did indeed.
Oh, my goodness. Profar did go into enemy territory, and he does make the catch.
Unreal.
And unbelievably, the Padre lead is still 1-0. Here's the 2-1. Peralta swings, sends it in the air to deep center field. Edmonds on the run, going back at the track, at the wall, and it's going to go! A two-run homer for Peralta! Straight away center field! And the Pods have taken Flaherty out twice in the first two innings. They lead it 3-0. 1-2 hit in the air, left center field. Not that deep. Profar falling off. Merrill should be deep enough to get Hernandez home. Bergson makes the catch, sends it into third base. It's a sacrifice fly for Gavin Lux. The Dodgers are on the board. It's 3-1 here in the second. Here's the 1-0. Hard hit on a line the other way. That's into left field and a base hit. Hernandez gets to it. Fernando's being waved. He's on his way home. He will score. And an RBI single for Jackson Merrill. Second knock of the night for the kid, and the Padres lead it 4-1. Hernandez swings, sends it in the air to straightaway center deep. Merrill's going back on the warning track. At the wall, leaps up, and he makes the catch. Merrill made the catch and then banged into the center field fence to end a 1-2-3 sixth inning. Padres have been playing some defense here tonight, and Jackson Merrill going up to make the play to send us to the seventh. Pitch on the way. Merrill swings, sends it in the air to left field and deep. Hernandez is going back. He is at the wall. This one, gonna go! Jackson Merrill's first career postseason home run. A two-run shot here in the eighth. And it's 6-1 San Diego at Dodger Stadium.
This kid is special.
Padres have hit 3 home runs here tonight. They off pitch, and Bogart swings, sends one in the air to deep left field. He might have just hit another. Hernandez is back at the wall. This one is going to go. Xander Bogaerts, bad leg and all. It's the 4th of the night for the Padres. They go back to back in the 8th, and it's 7-1. Higashioka swings, sends one in the air, deep to left center field. Edmund is back at the wall. He will leap. It's going to go. Kyle Higashioka with another postseason home run. His 3rd in 4 games. The Padres with their 5th of the night, and it's 8-1. First pitch on the way. Fernando swings, sends it in the air to deep right center field. Edmund is back. This time all he can do is watch. It's going to go. Another home run. Padres with their 6th home run of the night. Fernando with his 2nd. It is 10-1 at Dodger Stadium. 2-2 to Gavin Lux, and a pitch swung on and missed. Strike 3. Alec Jacob puts the door closed for the Padres here in the bottom of the 9th inning. He strikes out Gavin Lux, and the Pods break out against Jack Flaherty in the Dodger bullpen as they win this game 10-2 and even the series at a game apiece.
We've been punching on the field all year, you know, and hostile environment. What I got out of it was a bunch of dudes that showed up in front of a big hostile crowd with stuff being thrown at them and said, we're going to talk with our play. We ain't going to back down. We're going to elevate our game. We're going to be together, and we're going to take care of business.
Wow. Great calls by Jesse Agler, who tweeted after the game the list of every Major League Baseball team in the history of the sport that have hit 6 home runs in a road playoff game. That list, the 2024 San Diego Padres, Game 2 of the National League Division Series at Dodger Stadium. First team ever to do that on the road. I think only 2 teams have ever done it at home, hitting 6 home runs in a postseason game, and it happened last night. It happened quickly. I was walking down after Jackson Merrill hit his opposite field shot. I realized, all right, it's time to get out of these stands. These fans are kind of ready to blow, and they're not happy. And so I started walking. I missed two home runs just on my way down from the top to the bottom of the stadium. But
anybody heckle you?
Well, you know, I was just wearing kind of nondescript clothes. I'm not in Padres, but I heard a lot of Dodgers fans talking. So I was in the stairwell walking down. Another one? I thought the home run derby was supposed to be in July. I mean, they were stunned. They were stunned and shocked as they were walking out of that ballpark last night.
Yeah, sucks to suck, I guess. It was fun, though, because they were throwing things from the stands, and we were throwing things into the stands. Home run balls at a prodigious clip yesterday. Very, very nice to see.
Padres actually sent more things into the stands than the Dodgers fans threw out of the stands.
I disagree. I saw Sammy Leavitt's shot of right field.
That's true. There was a lot that was coming down on right field.
It just remains pathetic and embarrassing. And they're, you know, listen, I got a couple Dodger fan friends on Twitter, and they're really good people. My friend Brian, I love Brian so much. He goes, bro, please don't lump me in. I go, you're an exception, right? I have a few friends, and they're normal, you know, but that behavior last night was abnormal, and it can't happen. It can't happen in a playoff game, can't happen in a regular season game. And a 12-minute delay where not one of those guys comes out to put a stop to any of it is embarrassing. And I'm not surprised, because that's how that organization is run.
How about Mike Schilt pulling a couple of strings, inserting David Peralta into his lineup to see if that could change things as a designated hitter option. And he comes through with that 2-run home run, a big little cushion there in the top of the 2nd inning off of Jack Flaherty. Well, a little cushion learned in game 1 is not a huge cushion, but it felt big at the time.
It would be like if you're sitting on a small chair,
right?
And you're like, God, my ass is killing me. My back hurts.
You got a big cushion.
Oh, it's a big little cushion right there. Perfect. Yes. I get it.
It's
okay.
A big little cushion.
It's a big little cushion. I get it.
So you know, Mike Schilt pulls that string and puts David Peralta into the lineup, which was, you know, turned out to be just what the Padres needed, and that of course pushes Luis Arraez
to first base. And yeah. You're going, are they giving up anything defensively?
Paulie tells me in the dugout yesterday. Paulie reads me the lineup in the dugout. We're playing our playoff game yesterday for the Tier 1s, and he's reading the lineup, and I go, oh, Arise at first. I'm like, oh, no. Guy was brilliant last. Looked like Don
Two
Mattingly,
incredible
dude.
Plays. Had the line-out double play from Tommy Edman, which was
huge.
Maybe the biggest defensive moment of the game.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I mean, it was Adam. He had to go up for it. Not as spectacular, obviously, as the Profar catch or the Tatis catch out in the outfield. But in terms of impact on the game, there's runners on base. That gets past him. That could be a huge inning for the Dodgers. They're right back into it. But the other play that he made was simply a sensational play by any first baseman. That's a goal. That would be a gold glove play. So Arise coming through with his glove, something we haven't seen that often. You know, comes through with his bat all the time, but came through with his glove in the game yesterday as well. Both decisions, from Mike Schilt before that game yesterday.
You, Darvish, my man.
So good to be back.
I don't know enough superlatives to talk about the job that that man did yesterday. Controlling the tempo, making big pitches, getting Ohtani a few times. He was brilliant. Brilliant. And exactly what you needed. Would I be lying to you if I said I wasn't nervous about him, you know, pitching in Dodger Stadium? I was absolutely mortified to watch him go out there and dice them up the way he did, get weak contact. Again, got picked up with some great defensive plays. Certainly, they did hit some balls hard off of him. They're very good. They're very good. They're the number one team in baseball. They're the best record, home field advantage throughout, three MVPs at the top of their order, a really, really good bottom of their order. They're a great baseball team. Yu Darvish neutralized them last night. Neutralized. And I can't say enough good things. We needed a split so badly in L.A., and Yu Darvish said, jump on. I got you guys. And he was brilliant. I kept waiting. I'm like, oh, man. And again, let's give some credit to Mike Schilt for the game he managed with Yu Darvish. Now, the offense certainly helped and gave him a little bit of a big little cushion, as you called it. What's he at, 49 pitches through five or something? Like, he was just so economical. But how many times in the postseason do you see a manager go, well, I can't let him go back through again. There's just no way. We don't do it like this in the postseason. We gotta get to our bullpen. You being able to rest most of the high-leverage arms last night, he deserves two wins. You know what I'm saying? He was that good last night. I love him so much. I'm so happy for him, so proud to be a fan of his. He was brilliant.
How about coming through after the long delay where he's sitting out there kind of getting cold, he's trying to throw warm-up pitches, but out of the rhythm of the game. And then, of course, does walk Teoscar Hernandez to lead off that inning. Full count. I mean, it was a battling at-bat. I don't know if the delay impacted that at all, but that was the Dodgers' last best chance, of course, to get back into the game. And then to respond by getting the next three batters in order to finish out his night after everything that had transpired, after all the emotion, the public address announcements to the fans. He stayed locked in through that entire period. And I don't know that you can ask, you know, many pitchers in a playoff situation, but Yu Darvish is of that temperament and has that experience, kind of calmness about him, that he was just the right person to be on the mound for the San Diego Padres in that moment, in that game last night at Dodger Stadium.
It was so brilliant. And then Tanner Scott coming in to just absolutely neutralize Ohtani was brilliant.
I know we're going to go to break here in a second. You talked about Ohtani and his leadership on the mound and how his calmness.
Darvish.
and how he neutralized that moment and the Dodgers offense. We need to talk about the captain, Manny Machado.
100%.
That was one of the coolest things I've seen, him getting that team together in the dugout. I'll pay any amount of money for the audio if anyone's got it.
Yeah.
I know what you said about it in translation. Said, oh, you know, there's some bad words that were uttered. We will talk about Manny when we come back next year on 97.3 The Fan.